Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and with me today is Arby Abramian. Hi, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great, thank you. Arby's our mortgage doctor. Welcome. What are some news and notes we have today? Arby, give me some...
Like always, one of those three banks. Guess who's on the news again?
What? Who?
Citibank. Citigroup.
What's happening with Citigroup this week?
Well, I was looking over the news on Yahoo Finance by... Eric Tucker.
Oh, yeah. Eric Tucker. Sure. Yeah. Yahoo Finance.
It says Citigroup to pay $7 billion in subprime mortgages.
Why? What did they do?
They're probing Citigroup. I'm sure they found some stuff about Citigroup, and they're basically making them pay.
I think what happened is with Citigroup is that they got caught overvaluing their mortgage-backed securities. I read through the article, too. Yeah. And back in the subprime days, what was happening is they called it churn. Okay, this is a fancy word for just refinancing a guy 10 times in 6 months. I mean, it didn't matter. Yeah. It was all about fees and churn. And every time you did a mortgage or redid a mortgage, you sell it to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, it was all about the fees you could generate. So what would happen is the paper that they sold to those entities would then be valued, and that value that was placed on them was placed on them by large banking institutions that would then go out to the private sector and sell bonds, mortgage-backed securities, which would then replenish the funds to do more mortgages. So it was all really a scam. And what it says here, the Citigroup, well, they don't agree to get investigated anymore. They settle the lawsuit or the pending criminal activities. And they pay $7 billion. What I want to know in all these banks, okay, and we've talked about it so many times on the air, is whether it's Citibank or whether it's Wells Fargo, whether it's Bank of America, why don't any of these people ever go to jail?
Actually, I was going to ask you that.
Why? Well, what happens? I mean, here's the deal, $7 billion. How much did they make during the time that all this happened?
Now, certainly, $7 billion is probably like a small fraction.
Fraction, right? I mean, if you're churning, I don't know, how many loans were we doing? We were doing close to $2 to $2.5 trillion in loans. Last year, we did, I think, $1.3 to $1.6 trillion. So this just shows you that 50% less. Now, $1 trillion, think about that for a second. I don't even know what that is. If you pile dollar bills on top
that's a lot of zeros.
That's $1 trillion. Come on. Okay, so they paid $7 billion. How much did they make of that $1.5 trillion that they were making during that time, which doesn't even exist anymore? How much of that gets squirreled away? How much of that is paid to the corporation? Where does it get hidden in the fees that you charged on your bank statements or on your ATM cards?
That's probably a penny of in regards
penny
to
on a dollar, yeah, right? Of what? Well, anyway, I don't want to bag on these guys. I'm sure that they're trying to do the best they can. I'm sure they have overhead, and everybody's beholden.
They're trying really hard.
Yes, they're trying really hard. Okay. Anyway, so I'm reading this, and it shows you that the large banks in the United States will never go bad. Too big to fail. I don't know if you've all seen it, read the book, or seen the movie. However, guys like Malibu Funding, not only do we have to be so honest, both with Dodd-Frank, the CFPB, the number of state and federal agencies that look at us as a lender and as a mortgage broker, we can't make mistakes because we're out of business tomorrow.
We don't want to make mistakes.
Well, we can't make mistakes. I can't say as a bean counter in my company, oh, well, we're going to make, X amount of dollars. So if we get in trouble, we just pay them off. One, I don't have the money to pay them off. Two, the regulators would just crush me and I'd be out of business. So we're squeaky clean, where we play so above the board, and the paper that we write for you today, you know, whether it's a refinance mortgage, or whether it's a purchase mortgage, whether you need to take money out to do whatever you got to do, or whether you're looking to buy that second home, dream home, or your first home, what we do is look at what you can afford based on your tax records, based on your tax returns, based on your income. And then we say, hey, this is what we can do to write you a mortgage. And that mortgage is based on our partnership together. It's not based on some bean counter telling me, hey, we need to make X amount of dollars so that we can then continue the churn, continue to make money for our shareholders. I don't have shareholders. This is a privately held company. Anyway, enough beating up these guys, but that's what it happens. So over the past 4 months that we've been tracking this, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and now what we see is Citigroup, they've all paid up to, I think it's $25 billion. You know what the funny thing is? Remember the, I don't know if you saw the...
Jeff, before you go, I think the government's ATM card, because they're going there, the government just going like and suing them and getting some money out of them.
Well, it's...
So that's why they're keeping them alive.
The thing with me is that during the mortgage meltdown, when I saw the movie on HBO, I don't know if you saw, William Hurt was in it. I forget. I think it was called Too Big to Fail, right? It was about the whole process where they sat the largest 15 banks or whatever it was in a room, and they pointed to each one and said, okay, you're going to take X amount of dollars. You're going to take X amount of dollars. I think Wells Fargo got $25 billion.
Wow.
And I think the money that they were forcing them to try to free up credit and to lend the money back to the marketplace.
Which, that didn't happen.
And no, of course it didn't happen.
They
so,
just took that money and bought bonds.
They bought, oh, I don't know.
Government bonds. And it's just last year the government found out about it, and guess what? They end up paying for it again.
Well, exactly. But if you're going to give somebody a lot of money and then 2, 3, 4 years down the line you find them, you know, a third of that money, well, it sounds to me like somebody's doing really well and the rest of us who are sitting on the sidelines, this is what drives people crazy. You know what
I
mean?
They were just crying wolf.
It just drives people crazy because I know there are many people out there listening who are saying, hey, look, I want to get a mortgage. Maybe I'm not a cookie-cutter loan. Maybe I'm not a W-2 employee. Maybe I'm not somebody who just fits in the box of a Wells Fargo, a Citigroup. Heck, we got a call 2 weeks ago from the customer who said he'd been to 2 or 3 of these banks and they couldn't help him. So he came to us. Can we help him? Yes, we can help him. We have a lot of different solutions for people who aren't traditional borrowers. This gentleman came to us and he was a person who has not stated income, but income which was derived from properties or his business. And we can absolutely help because we have non-QM loans. We have non-traditional loans. Obviously, we have Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae purchased loans. And we also have other avenues with which we can help you with our own money, being that Malibu Funding lends our own money. Mm-hmm. So all of these things that we can help people with, which are non-traditional, you know, these are solutions which you can't get from going to your big corner bank, whether it's, you know, the big five or even some of the smaller lenders. I mean, we just have some avenues because that's our business. And we work on, obviously, customer service-based. We work a very thin margin, so we have to be able to help you so that you can recommend us to your friends, your families, your neighbors. I mean, this is how traditional mortgage brokers compete. They can't compete with very large, federally funded banks. Let's face it, for those of you that don't know out there, most banks, large banks, borrow from the federal government. That's where they get their money to lend to you. And they're borrowing at essentially 20 to 1. So if they have a dollar in their bank account, they can borrow $20. So you can imagine the deposits in some of these large banks and how much money they're borrowing from the federal government through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, through mortgage-backed securities. That's how the money gets replenished to the system to be able to then lend out to large banks. That's how the whole system works. So liquidity, what they call liquidity, which is really the juice in the system, the money, the cash, these are the things that we do in our small little business to be able to fund loans for you guys. So very, very interesting stuff. Let's get to the Realtor of the Week. Who do we got there, Arby?
Rachel Abruzzo. I hope like I'm pronouncing the name right.
I think it's Rachel Abruzzo. Rachel, I know. Rachel, I know you're out there. Where does she work?
Rodeo Realty.
Rodeo Realty. Come
on,
Rodeo. You know, it's so funny. If you and again, we broadcast this show all over California, but certainly up in the Bay Area and down in Los Angeles, also out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and soon to come down into New Mexico and Arizona. What we do is in the Beverly Hills area, which everybody knows Beverly Hills, right? There is a road. It's called
Rodeo
Drive. And everybody knows Rodeo Drive. It's like Madison Avenue in New York. It's like Sand Hill Road. It's like a lot of these very famous streets around the country. Well, at a certain point on Rodeo Drive, it turns into Rodeo. And that just tells you what happened to the street. It kind of just went down the tunnel there, wherever property values are. So, Rachel, congratulations, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. Wanted to try to get to the reasons why people do what they do. I know that sounds deep. It's not really. But in our business, what we have to do is always overcome obstacles. What are the obstacles? Well, I don't want to do it. I don't trust that guy. I'm not sure if I can face it. It's a 30-year deal. I can't. Okay, today with us is Dr. Jeannie Bertoli. Jeannie's a friend of mine, and she's most graciously consented to come on in and talk to us. She is a why don't you explain exactly your resume? That'd be better for me, because then I don't have to read it.
Are you kidding me?
Come on. So
no, introduce me, Jeff.
Okay, I will. Dr. Bertoli is a relationship expert and counselor, and is an author, the author of her new book, Wisdom Beyond Me, a book of messages about living, volume one. I'll show it up to the camera. Of course, it's radio, so nobody will see exactly what I'm doing. However, it's great to have you on the show, because we don't often talk about the psychology of what goes on in people's minds when they're going to approach someone to buy a house, or they're thinking or talking with their significant other about buying a house, or it's solo. So part of what we wanted to talk to you about today was exactly that. What motivates people to do what they do? And then how do we as professionals get beyond the initial, I'm afraid and I don't trust you?
Sounds like a great show. I'm glad to be here.
Well, again, thanks very much. So tell me, first of all, in your experience, what is it that motivates people to do what they want to do, especially when they're afraid? Is it a simple answer?
I think it's better to use a specific example. Do you want to talk about purchasing a home?
Let's talk about, okay, that's fine. Let's talk about, let's use me. I'm going to buy a house.
Okay.
I'm a guy. I'm, 35 years old. I just got married, and I'm getting pressure at home to go buy a house.
Okay.
And, so we both make about the same amount of money, and, we're now in the process of searching for someone. What are we looking for? How do we get by the, first of all, there's anxiety about our relationship in this new endeavor about trying to find something. Then there's the distrust, or let's say my significant other trusts somebody, but I don't like them. You know, all this stuff's going on.
Right. You're talking about multiple relationships there and how they're all changing.
Right.
And you were talking earlier about fear. So no matter what's going on with that particular couple, what I would be thinking about is talking to my new spouse.
Right.
And making sure we're on the same page so that that anxiety doesn't bleed into all these other relationships with our real estate agent, with our mortgage guy, with our bank. So if we have calm between us,
right.
If we're on the same page, everything else is going to go more smoothly.
Okay.
So then we can talk about our fears within our couple, right? So what if we don't stay together? What if divorce is always a potential?
Right, because I know the way people think. Because they're all this is in the back of everybody's mind. Well, what if? And then all of a sudden it gets to be overwhelming just dealing with that, let alone the decision to go buy a house.
Right, and people could be afraid for so many reasons for that. Divorce is one potential of divorce, but also depends on how they were raised. Did they have a home? Is it something of value to them? Or is it something that society says everyone should have and so they feel the need to get it? So it's just great to have that kind of base conversation of, hey, how are you feeling about this?
Right.
Where is that coming from? What's your background with houses? Why do you even want one? Especially in this, I think it used to be the default where everyone bought a house.
Right.
And with the change in the economy, it's not the default necessarily anymore.
Well, we ran through a couple of articles here in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I've read them on air, but essentially the kids, whatever they're called, millennials, is that what they're called?
Yes.
They are not interested in buying a house. Now, maybe it's because of the economy. Maybe it's because how they're raised. Maybe it's just they just don't want the long-term commitment. I don't know. But it's a real problem if you're in the business of selling houses. All of a sudden, you've got a market that doesn't want to buy a house anymore.
Right. I think one of the reasons people don't want to buy a house right now is it does ground you. It keeps you in one location. And with those millennials, with a lot of people who are forward thinking, it used to be where you had a job for 30 years, the same job in the same location for 30 years. It made sense to have a house. You would pay it off. Then you would have that investment, that return on your investment. But now it's not true. We change jobs at least 7 times in our lifetimes. And so we often move cities. We often move away from our families. So it's not even necessarily a good financial move to own a home anymore.
Okay. So what would you... Okay. So we're the couple. We're talking about what we want to really do. Okay. And getting through all of this, which coming from you sounds so simple and so very well organized and, you know... But I know my own particular marriage. It's like, it's crazy, you know, and I assume, and maybe this is false, but I assume most relationships have their ups and downs in communications. So let's say you're having difficulty. You both want the same thing or you're having some difficulty. All right. So that aside, now you're going out to pick somebody to work with, whether it be a buyer's agent or somebody.
Okay. So I want to stop you because the minute you're feeling that we're not on the same page, especially... That's the great moment. That's the moment of opportunity to have what I think of as intentional communication.
Okay.
So instead of just, hey, over dinner, blah, 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 say, let's sit down and talk about this. Something I want us to be on the same page before we involve other people, because our confusion between us is only going to be magnified and confusing to that next person and that next person. It's going to set us up for failure. So let's sit down and talk through what are your concerns? Where am I not understanding you? And then vice versa.
Okay, so if you're like me, this sounds great. Gee, you should call us and talk to Dr. Bertoli right now, 888-713-2929, because let's talk about this. I know for myself, my children, my friends, that couples themselves have communication, and sometimes it just doesn't communicate well.
Right.
Usually there's somebody within the dynamic that takes the lead on a purchase.
Right.
Whether it's buying a refrigerator, or it's buying a car, or it's buying a house, or whatever it is.
Right.
There is someone who's in charge. What you're talking about is, okay, let's be on the same page, however we work out our communication, but let's make sure that we're doing what we want to do as a couple in a very rational way.
Right.
And when you counsel, I assume you counsel people through this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. But you're bringing up this great point. I've seen that exactly, where one person really takes charge and the other person is almost not even involved.
Right.
But I would say as a relationship counselor that it's really important to have that conversations. I've seen it more where the women take charge. They do what they want to do. And the husband basically winds up getting dragged along or just sort of is passively going along. But instead for her to take that moment to say, are you okay with this? Can really make all the difference to that man and make him feel like a powerful person in this partnership. Really important stuff. It's so easy to just get focused on your own needs and forget about this piece. But for the long-term care of your marriage, for the long-term good of this partnership and the sustainability of that partnership, it really suits you to take that moment to just say, are you okay? Because it says you matter to me.
Right.
And by not asking, what are you saying? I don't care.
Yeah, right. And I would say just being a typical guy out there in Mr.
Man,
woman universe, it's kind of like that, you know? Whereas, you know, as who was it that said, I think it was Mark Twain who said, when we got married, I told my wife, honey, I'll let you make all the small decisions, but all the major decisions I'm going to make myself. And I think he said, and after 50 some odd years of marriage, there hasn't been one major decision to be made, which I thought was very cute and also very accurate, because I in my own particular marriage, and I would imagine a lot of guys are like this. Yeah, you want a house, but do we really want to pay for it? Yeah, we need a mortgage, but do I really want to? So what happens in the decorating, on the buying of the food, on the buying, you know, the whole life, even the social life is really evolved around my wife, the spouse. Now, there are guys out there that are hard chargers that take over, and my father-in-law is like that. But in general, usually one person. But you're saying, no, slow the process down.
Well, I'm curious for you, how does it feel to be in that role?
You know what? A lot of times it's okay because I don't care.
Well, then that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't care, then it's not a problem.
And I think, well, it's like going shopping. You mentioned shopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being dragged along. You know, every guy knows that. You know, let's go shopping. Great. Can't wait. 2 weeks ago, we went out and bought an oven, okay? So this is, you know, this was our weekend together. Let's go buy an oven, okay? Our old oven, 20 years, yeah, we had to go buy it. So we went and bought an oven. It wasn't the best thing in the world. No, but we did spend time together, and it was fun. Now, we've been married 25 years, three kids, so a lot of this stuff is said in humor because right. we've gotten way beyond the initial power play. But in the example of the couple
right.
who are newly married, who are trying to figure out their own identity in the marriage as well as their communication
right.
style, and then to make big choices— Now, this is obviously crucial.
That's an especially great time to make sure everyone's needs are taken into account.
Right.
So if, on the other side of that, the woman who's hard charging and really, really ready to buy that house, if her husband's like, I don't care, that sends the message, go ahead, because I don't want to participate at that level. I don't want to be truly engaged. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, because then you've really figured out the dynamic
right.
so that when you go out to the real estate agent or to the bank, you really do know that the woman's just going to be in charge. But if a man wants to be in true partnership, then he has to speak up and create something different.
It's funny. I'm laughing now, of course, that you're on radio so you can't see me. And Jeannie's watching me smile, and I'm thinking, you know what? It's so funny, because when I get in the car, why is it always I'm driving the car? Why
right.
is that? And
right.
my wife is perfectly happy to let me drive. Why is that?
You've long since established these
right.
are your normal roles.
No, it is.
In this
and
marriage.
I think that the gender roles in general, whatever society tells you, is okay if that's the way you do.
As long as you're okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Right. There are a lot of people who aren't. We have different wounds and different things from our
sure.
childhood that make us have our preferences, and we have to make sure that those are okay in partnership.
Okay. So we've gotten the established communication. We're ready to go. How do we go about, do we figure out what we want to do as a couple.
Right. How much we want to spend.
Right. All that. All the good stuff.
Okay.
Now we want to work with people.
Yeah.
What's the decision-making process going on in that deal? Because I hate buying a car. I don't think anybody likes buying a car. Buying a house was as stressful, if not more so. It's just that there's something about it that, because you don't know what you're doing. Really, you're trusting another person, you have no idea, and you know that the only thing they're interested in is
your money.
Is my money.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So how do you get by that to get the best person?
I think what most people do is wind up getting referrals from their friends.
I see.
Do you know someone you can trust? Because it is about trust.
Right.
And obviously, those people are going to get paid, but you don't want to feel ripped off.
Right.
Nobody wants to feel taken advantage of. So it's about finding someone you can trust. And then, you know, there's nothing wrong with testing that trust, not in a sort of testing kind of way, but in a forming the relationship, spending time together, have a coffee with that person, and really see, do I feel comfortable with this person? Do I have the referral? So that's one source of trust.
Mm-hmm.
But then having that one-on-one meeting and seeing what do your instincts tell you? How do you feel about them?
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and you are listening to your voice in the mortgage industry. So, all right, so you're sitting down, you're having this meeting. So this process then, because I know the way I am, I'm pretty much, okay, whatever, first guy in the door, right? I mean, it's just the
one
way I am as a person.
Right.
I'll work with whoever it is. I'm pretty easy to work with, except that particular, if I feel like I'm being pressured,
right.
I don't like that person. If I
right.
feel like they're ripping me off, I don't like that person.
Well, you just mentioned the thing about feeling pressured. That's a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to sit down with that person in the coffee and feel like, are they going to be on you? And like, Jeff, you need to do it right now. Hurry
mm-hmm.
up. You got to do it right now. Or are they going to be like, it's okay. And go at your pace. And
right.
you would want someone who you feel that has that comfort of willingness to go at your pace, in addition to not feeling like they're going to rip you off.
Yeah, that's extremely important for a guy like me. And I assume that there's a lot of customers out there who, like you said, are different.
Mm-hmm.
They have different needs, different wants,
yeah.
different pace that they want to go at. And what would be pressured to me may be to somebody else. No big deal.
Lots of people want to go at the fastest pace
right.
possible, right? So that pressure to them means somebody's working really hard
right.
for them. So that would be an amazing match.
And I know for my money, what I usually like to do is do a little bit of research. And in today's market, everybody's shopping online anyway,
mm-hmm.
whether it's real estate or shoes. Everybody's gone online. They've seen what the inventory, they see what the product is. And they're very well educated, which is obviously it helps me quite a bit.
And some people don't want to do that. That's why they're hiring you.
Right.
And so if you can have a go-getter, I have a real estate agent who is a friend, and there's nothing I would need to do. I would just call her up for whatever.
Okay, so there are those. See, it's so funny, as we're all different. I know that the people that we get in the door, our best clients are people that are educated. Because obviously we can then talk to them as professionals. We can say, okay, here are your options, and here's what lines up as, you know, the problems, and here are the solutions, and let's go through this together, and I can provide you with solutions, or I can let you, you know, tell me what you want, and I can do that. Those are the best clients for us. The person that walks in the door and says, I don't know anything, you got to do everything. For me, and our money...
That's terrible for you.
Yeah, I've got to really refer that person.
Well,
it was
someone you can refer them to.
Yes, exactly. Well, it sounds good. No, we actually do a Realtor of the Week every show, so we'll get that lady's telephone number.
Okay, because she's so on it that all you have to do is come and say, this is generally what I'm looking for, and she's going to give you all your options. She's going to lay it all out. And that's more of what I like, that concierge sort of service.
Okay. So, all right, let's talk about that for a second. So we've got different profiles of people that come to Malibu Funding. The telephone number 888-713-2929. And make sure you can go to our Facebook account, homeloans:MalibuFunding, and our email is info@MalibuFunding.net. You can send us an email. You can call right now and talk to Dr. Bertoli if you'd like. Her new book is Wisdom Beyond Me, a book of messages about living, Volume 1. It's really insightful, all of this. And by the way, you have a great radio voice.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's
really, wow, now that you mention it.
Yeah, it's excellent. Very good. Okay, so let's get back into the psychology of why people do what they do.
Right.
We're into the interview process. We found an agent that we want to work with, and the different ways that people go about finding who they want to work with. I'm obviously different than you, who's different than the next person. And so this interview process is obviously very important.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think when you framed it just like that, why do people do what they do? My immediate response is, what a great question. And you need to individualize that and ask someone, how can I help you? What are your needs and what are your concerns? Those are the two main questions. What are your needs? What are your concerns? And instead of putting some formula on them,
right,
trying to fit them into some, you know, subscript sort of way of being, ask them those questions. They're going to feel cared about. They're going to feel heard. And then you're actually able to formulate solutions that will work for them.
I think when we hire here at the company, one of the keys is that we're not dealing with robots. We're not dealing with bottom line people. We're dealing with people.
And emotions. Right.
And the people that work for Malibu Funding have to understand that. It's not just about, oh, I got to make a rent check, or I got to make this amount of money every year. No, you're dealing with people in very stressful situations.
Right. And if they become hesitant in this process that you're dealing with them, there's a reason.
Right.
And you may guess wrong. So it's much better to ask them, where did this go wrong for you? Where did this start to be an obstacle in here for you?
Right.
And then you can really understand. It's so easy to react or to judge. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, another troubled client. Oh my gosh, they're backing out. Oh my gosh, buyer's remorse. I've seen it a million times.
Yep.
Instead, if you say, what happened here? Help me understand what you need. You may actually make that deal.
Right.
By not reacting.
Right. And in that process, we have found just exactly that, is that an agent will be more frustrated that the client is doing X, Y, and Z than trying to figure out exactly what the actual problem is with the client.
Right.
Because you're a problem solver. I'm a problem solver. I really...
I'm a problem solver.
You know, I'm
not
a problem
you, Jeff.
Solver. Exactly. You've solved all my problems today. Personally, I am the guy who is going to solve the borrower's problem, the person who wants to buy a house problem, because that's what we do. And it's funny. There is a chart. I saw it years ago. The top five stressful things in life that
mm-hmm.
you're going to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
There is... obviously, the death in the family,
mm-hmm.
right? Divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the third or the fourth one is buying a house.
Oh, sure.
Extremely stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that, you know, I'm not going to sit down and have a, you know, that's your job. I'm not going to have therapy with people, but
right.
I do care. And I think this whole trust issue that I'm talking about and what the bottom line here is, Can you instill in the people you're talking to some kind of trust?
Yes.
That they're willing to take a chance with you?
Yes.
And then you work your tail off to continue to earn that trust throughout the process.
Well, I think if that's your, that's an amazing focus. So if your focus is, I want to build a relationship with this person so that they can trust me. Trust isn't something you can say, I'll do X, Y, and Z, and therefore they will have trust for me.
Right.
But if you go in saying, that's my goal, is to build trust with this person, then you can ask them some of the questions I gave you earlier. Tell me what your vision is.
Right.
Tell me what your needs are.
Right.
Tell me what your concerns are. What would make this a really fun process for you? What would make this a really stressful process? So in asking those questions and really delving into their answers, not just going on to the next question, but actually making them feel like you are interested, not just make them feel that way, but be interested.
But be interested.
Then they will feel the trust as you are genuine and authentic with them. And that's what people really want these days, is to know that they're cared about. And the moment you jump to or you pivot to, and how can I sell you this? And how can I, you know, the more time you can spend on the relationship building phase, the more you can cash in later, literally and figuratively, and make, but if your focus can be the win-win and not just how can I make the most out of this relationship, people can feel the difference.
Well, I think today's buyer, today's seller, people that are looking for services through social media, through, you know, Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or any number, Twitter, any number of these outlets, you cannot go to them and say, you know what, I've got this great solution for your problem. Come on over here. No, nobody cares.
No.
And they instantly delete you.
Right.
You just, as you say, be authentic, be yourself, and try to say, look, I'm more interested in, you know, something else here. Mm-hmm. Not just trying to sell you something. I think that's where trust.
And that thing is serving them.
Right.
So giving them information that they actually want.
Right.
Whether that's trends in the industry or anything you want, it is about how can I serve you? How can I add value to those people?
That's excellent. You know what? We're going to have you back again. I really appreciate you coming in. This has been a terrific. Not often do we talk about the psychology in anything, let alone in the trust phase of buying and selling or using services. I think I have to pay you. Isn't this an hour?
Maybe. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Thanks very much. And the book, again, is Wisdom Beyond Me. This is Dr. Bertoli, and my name is Jeff Barton. We'll be right back.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. I am very, very happy that Rick Martinez granted to come back today. Rick is a broker and also a mortgage loan officer for Malibu Funding. And the heart and the meat of what we wanted to talk about today was his investment opportunities for you. What are they? How can you get involved? And let's explain what they are. Rick, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I've actually got some programs up in the Bay Area right now that we're launching, and I've actually been doing them for a while now, but we're ramping them up right now. So they're really interesting, and there's a lot of amazing opportunities out there for people, and most of the people really don't know how to get started, where to get started, who to talk to, and you know how to basically dip their toe in the water to get involved in doing investments. And,
okay, so pick up the phone, 888-713-2929. Give me an example. Give me something I can sink my teeth in. What is it, properties? Is it mortgages? What are you having people want to invest in?
You know, it's really all over the place, but part of it is just the American dream. I mean, the dream of owning your own business and getting ahead. Everybody gets stuck in these 9-to-5 jobs, and they're always thinking, how can I get out? What can I do? And really, you know, with some good coaching and some good business sense and some, knowing yourself and your spending habits, you know, there's so many opportunities out there for you. And, you know, a lot of these people don't really realize that. And, you know, we have quite a few different opportunities for people. For example, like, let's say somebody's a babysitter. She's babysitting a bunch of kids. She's thinking about starting a daycare, or she works at a daycare office. We have opportunities where we could help you invest with, not based on credit, not based on your job performance and anything like that, where we can get you into properties and, you know, buy a property, open up a daycare. here. Invest in you and your business. It's kind of goes hand in hand with some of these venture capital programs that are out there. And, you know, I'd like to help out anybody with that.
So this is non-traditional type investing. So
correct,
you would take them from whatever their dream is and try to say, okay, how can we finance what you want to do? How can we get you into a situation, either a property or I guess you do commercial as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to get them into a business situation where the business is earning enough money to pay for the mortgage, I guess. And do you say, did you give them startup money? I mean, I don't understand.
Actually, we do. Again, it's not as it's easy, and it's just like anything else. It's having the knowledge. It's having the knowledge to know who to talk to, how to go about doing it, how to structure your business, how to put a business plan together. But those tasks aren't really not that difficult, and with the right person helping you out, it can be done. And we have plenty of different opportunities right now that are available.
Okay. So can you help me out here? For instance, if I was talking geographically, would you be able to pinpoint an area by which you're working in currently, or is that something you just want people to give us a call on?
Actually, I'd love for your people to give me a call on them, but we're actually doing business from anywhere, say from Fresno, Stockton area, all the way up to Humboldt County, any type of commercial or residential, and that could be anywhere from spec homes, which is short for speculation homes, and that's more of a developer term, but anybody can get involved in that. That's basically either building a house from the ground up and then turning around and selling it for a profit, or possibly fix and flips. We're doing those too as well. But some of the stuff that I'm particularly talking about is going to be vertical construction, which means building and going up on a lot.
And how far is that, an office building, a single-family residence?
We're doing commercial and residential. Basically, the programs I'm talking about right now is we have up to $750,000 per project per funding. So you could do daycares, convenience stores, strip malls, halfway houses, alcoholic rehab homes, different things like that.
Okay. Now, when you say you have this money available, is this private money?
Yes, it is private money.
Okay, so what you've got is a pool of investors who are giving you money to find people to invest this money, and then whatever the rate of the return is for the investor is also the opportunity for the people who are doing the project.
Yeah, some of it is a different type of a hedge fund money, and some of it is private management funds that I'm involved with and that I help manage.
A couple weeks ago, we had a guy on who was talking about crowdfunding. And his projects were specific that they would go out, the crowdfund these guys, Jim, I think it propfunds.com is the name of his crowdfunding group. They'd go to the general public. They would put properties on the website that they could have you invest in. You would send money in through the website, I guess is how it works. And then your set return would be based on obviously how much money that you would give to the project for how long you would actually be in the project. For you guys, how would one go about getting involved with it? Is it regulated business? How is the money protected? These are some of the things that I think I would want to know.
Yeah, that's a great question. We are regulated. We're regulated. Does any other standing standard lending companies are regulated? Go ahead and you can give me a call, and I'd be happy to explain some of that stuff to you. But
Great. The telephone number is 888-713-2929. Give us a call. And Rick is here in studio right now, and obviously you can ask him questions on air or off air, either one. And obviously reach him through the Malibu Funding website, www.malibufunding.net. And okay, that's great. So the amount of investment, let's say I want to get involved with this. How much money do I bring to the table, or is that per... Each deal is different, so you got to talk about what the guy wants or what the gal wants and figure out how best to move forward.
Well, Jeff, the term that's kind of used in the industry is called skin in the game. So
okay.
That'd be a term for how much money you're bringing. But that's the thing. Most people think you need to bring a bunch of money, but actually you don't. There's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of money on the streets. People say this economy's, you know, having its issues, and I know it is, but there are plenty of people out there with money that want to give it to you to help you follow your dream and start your business. So in other words, basically, if you can have a good business plan and it makes sense and we can put you in touch with one of your developers or our developers, contractor, construction people, we can put together a business plan for you and get that thing funded for you and create a mortgage for that business, and then you start your business and it will pay the mortgage. And we have that opportunity available right now, 100% funding.
That's unbelievable. I mean, like you just said, I mean, it's an opportunity for people to be able to understand that there's 100% financing available, possibly for with a good business plan, which you can help them with, I guess, in terms of defining what they're going to do and how they're going to make money.
Help them structuring the paperwork that is needed for the processing of the funding.
And you can also help them with the financing itself, as well as identify the projects.
We're looking more for the contractors and the developers with a track record that we can go ahead and they can build the projects for us.
Okay, excellent. All right. And that's both in, obviously, up in the Bay Area and also down where you're based down in Claremont area?
Right now, that program is primarily in Northern California where okay. this particular lender's funding. But we do have programs in Southern California as well, but they're going to be more about 10% down at this point.
Okay, so Northern California is more about the money that's up there or just because the opportunity up there is greater and people can see that they're, you know, the money's safer up there?
More of a comfort level of where okay. the money's at.
Okay, so the money, okay, so you have sources, I guess the money is coming from a number of different sources, and basically what you're saying is up there is better than down here for the risk that the investor...
Well, that particular lender, I'm working with a bunch of different lenders, and there's certain lenders that, you know, just feel have a comfort level in different parts of the states. Like, for instance, right now, North Dakota is a really hot market. Before the collapse of the real estate industry as we knew it, Georgia was super hot. Northern Dakota is really good right now. So
well, that's all the oil money up there, right? Isn't that all that shale oil?
There's a lot of a lot of stuff like that going on right now.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, it's truly amazing. I was reading the other day just about U.S. independence in the oil sector is just driving the economy, really. I mean, that's the bottom line to it. It's plentiful, it's cheap, and now we're exporting oil for the first time in, I don't know, 30 years. It's amazing. And what you're saying about the opportunities and what you're saying about the economy, I agree with you. There is a lot of money out there. The question is for, let's get back just briefly to just your average Joe trying to get a home out in wherever it is that they live. And how are they going to be able to afford it? How are they going to be able to come up with a down payment? How are they going to be able to get a number of people on the mortgage so that they can buy the home? You're seeing a lot of that, too, out in the Inland Empire, Riverside, San Bernardino?
Seen quite a bit of it. Basically, we're exploring different opportunities, different financing opportunities that are available out there. You're going to have your standard FHA, conventional USDA products that are out there for people to get loans with, but a lot of people don't realize there's other options too as well. So we're here to help people out with that.
Absolutely. And we've talked in previous shows, and we'll talk about it right now, non-QM loans. That means if you're a self-employed stated individual, there are programs for you that the interest rates will be a little higher, but you are able to now borrow money, whereas probably 2-3 years ago, you weren't able
but
to.
Jeff, those interest rates, I mean, that's all relative. If you look at the rates were 10, 15, 20 years ago, the rates are amazing.
Rick, thank you very much for coming
for
in again
me.
This week. It was really a pleasure. That's Rick Martinez, great real estate broker. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929. Arby, great show.
Great show.
And you know what? I really appreciate Arby coming in again and again. I know he's a busy guy. And as you all know, he's studying to be a doctor, a real doctor, which is why we call him the mortgage doctor. So again, thanks very much for coming in. Also, I want to thank our guest, Rick Martinez. Again, a perspective from a different area in California, real estate market, the trends, what's happening. I really appreciate that. And also, I wanted to thank Dr. Jeannie Bertoli. Dr. Bertoli's website is drbertoli.com, and you can reach her there through her website. Very interesting stuff. And I went to the website. She's got a lot of interesting material as well as downloadable and audio versions of what we were talking about in general on the show. You can really get into much more depth and much more about the psychology of not only buying and selling, but also, you know, what drives people to do what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, what drives you to do what you do? I mean, to me, what he does is insane. But, of course, people look at what I do or at the guy on the radio or the guy working at the company, and they go, how do you do what you do? So psychology is always interesting in the buying and selling.
I'm an impulsive buyer.
You're an impulsive buyer. Yeah, excellent. Exactly. I've got a lot of stuff to sell. No, and we've all been out with people, right, who just – won't open their wallet. I mean, the last time they opened their wallet was in the 30s of the last century. You know, yet some people are just have to spend money every day. Mm-hmm. So what is the psychology about that? I know people do certain things for certain reasons, but again, when you're looking to buy, sell, when you're looking for a mortgage, a realtor, a real estate person, a mortgage broker, a mortgage bank, what are you looking for and what kind of advice do you get? As Dr. Pertoli was saying, a lot of it is referrals. A friend of yours says, a cousin, even if it was a bad experience, at least it's an experience, mm-hmm. and you know what you're getting into. Okay. So, I don't know, you've been involved in buying and selling real estate and with mortgages. How did you end up working with the people you worked with?
First experience, like, you know, it's a learning experience. Second time, you just, like, get to know them. It's a working relationship, and you just keep doing business with the same people over and over and over.
Yes, it really is. It's almost as if first guy in the door wins, yeah. You know, and I don't know why that is. And I've experienced it myself when I'm buying cars or buying houses or other, you know, not just simple bread at the store. Mm-hmm. You what happens is the first person in who tells you something, you judge it. But then all of a sudden, everybody else you talk to, you're judging with that guy's advice in your head.
It's the connection. Like, you know, how do you guys connect as a seller and buyer and agent and mortgage professionals? It's like how you guys connect.
Right. To me, that connection is as important as anything else. There is, as we talked about, the list of the top five stressful things, but there's also another list out there. I don't know where I saw it or when I saw it, but it talks about how close you get to people in your life who are not your family, professionals. What is the top five list? Well, if you look at realtor or mortgage person, we're like number three on the list. And we're talking about lawyers, doctors, and obviously people in the real estate industry, mm-hmm. whether it's your real estate broker, your real estate agent, or your mortgage broker, or your mortgage agent. Because it is such an intense time, and it's so much pressure, that what happens is the person you work with becomes your, you know, I don't want to say it for lack of a better word, your therapist. Talks to you about all the things that stress you out, and hold your hand and walk you through the process. So what you said is right. Yeah. You have to have this relationship. And Jeannie said it too. Dr. Bertoli said, look, sit down and have a cup of coffee with someone before you start committing. See if you have any kind of connection with these people. Do you have any feeling for them, any kind of trust? It's just incredibly important for you to be able to do that. So again, I wanted to thank Dr. Pertoli again. Her website, or you can reach her at drbertoli, that's drbertoli.com. And obviously you wanted to thank Rick again. Arby, one more show in the books.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you too. That's The Mortgage Doctor, and I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding Inc's 888-713-2929.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program, along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.